Welcome back to the SwampSwami.com Sports Podcast. And now let's play our song for the University of Georgia fans. I'm sorry, we had to do that. You knew it was coming. Millions of college football fans watched the SEC championship game played Saturday between the previously unbeaten Georgia Bulldogs and the defending national champions 11-1 Alabama. Now, what is terrific about college football is that the regular season games are played on a weekly basis. Fans have a week to get fired up for the next game, and then a few days afterwards to either delight in victory,
yes,
or wallow in defeat. With Georgia coming into the game undefeated and sporting college football's best defensive unit in recent memory, fans of the Bulldogs were licking their paws with the chance to finally take down Alabama, win the SEC championship, and most likely with the win, eliminate their crimson-clad conference opponents right out the door of the upcoming college football playoffs. Georgia, you see, has not won a national championship since Herschel Walker ran roughshod over America's college football landscape back in 1980. Yeah, 41 years ago. Since that time, Alabama has won 7 national championships. One of my favorite humorists and writers, the late Louis Grizzard, a great American, whose columns were syndicated in over 450 newspapers, was a University of Georgia alumnus and a fanatical Dogs football fan. He was at the 1980 Georgia championship game at the Sugar Bowl in New Orleans and considered it the highlight of his all-too-short life. He died in 1994 at the age of 47, and according to his wishes, though, had some of his ashes scattered at the 50-yard line of Georgia's Sanford Stadium. After Alabama ran roughshod over Georgia 41-24 on Saturday, I was thinking about the title of one of Louis Grizzard's first books. It was called They Tore Out My Heart and Stomped That Sucker Flat. Written by Grizzard back in 1983. The title of that book, which was actually about his first open heart surgery, sums up the feelings of millions of Georgia football fans, how they're feeling this week after Saturday's butt-kicking administered by, Coach Nick Saban and Alabama's Crimson Tide. Now, Georgia was favored by nearly one touchdown coming into this SEC championship game. No team had scored more than 17 points against their vaunted senior-led defense. The offense had been able to run the ball with ease, and former walk-on quarterback Stetson Bennett looked more like a young Drew Brees as he smoothly operated that Georgia offense. Yes, Georgia seemed to have everything going for them and looked poised for their biggest win since 1980's national championship title game. But like the Peanuts cartoon strip in which Lucy always pulls that football away from Charlie Brown right before he tries to place kick it, Georgia's football team, coaches, and fans whiffed one more time and will need some better luck to get one more try for success again in early January. What's worse is that Bama Nation, which isn't used to being the underdog in any football game since Nick Saban arrived in town in 2007, is now loudly proclaiming, "We told you so," with their win. So what happened to Georgia last Saturday to make their fans so gloomy this week? Georgia actually took a 10-0 early lead into the second quarter. But from that point on, Alabama's offense was literally unstoppable. The Crimson Tide scored 41 points over the rest of the game in less than three quarters. Alabama's sudden offensive onslaught against Georgia's top-rated defense was quite impressive. After falling behind 10-0, let's take a look at how Alabama responded in the second quarter. Alabama's first score was a touchdown, took 3 plays, 75 yards, just 44 seconds. Their second score, another touchdown, 6 plays, 80 yards, just 2 minutes and 57 seconds. They scored again on a field goal, 12 plays, 79 yards in 5 minutes and 13 seconds. And their fourth score of just that quarter was a touchdown covering 9 plays, 75 yards in just a minute and 40 seconds. And Alabama led 24-17 at the half. In the first drive of the second half, though, more of the same for Alabama. Touchdown, 5 plays, 75 yards, 1 minute and 50 seconds. Alabama was now leading 31-17 early in the third quarter, and Georgia was forced to come from behind in the second half for the first time this season. Apparently, Georgia's offensive playbook did not contain a how to come from behind chapter. It was either non-existent or left back in Athens. That issue falls squarely on head coach Kirby Smart. The team apparently did not appear to have a viable game plan on what they needed to do if they fell more than one touchdown behind. That's on the coach. Meanwhile, Alabama's head coach Nick Saban made some very revealing comments during a post-game interview he had with the SEC Network. Quoting Coach Saban, "I knew we had the right mindset heading into the game. I have a tremendous respect for Georgia and the great season they had." He added, "You've got to be able to block their front seven or the quarterback can't operate. I think our offensive line and coaching staff did a really good job of scheming it up to give Bryce Young some time to operate. Our receivers made some really good big plays. It all started because we had decent protection for the most part all night." And right you are, Coach, as usual. Despite media reports to the contrary, Alabama's offensive line, while not up to recent Alabama standards, still features a lot of quality players. With the exception of Clemson, which Georgia beat by a very slim 10-3 margin in the season opener, Georgia's pass rush did not face another team with as big or talented of an offensive line as Alabama has. Alabama's O-line made some great adjustments in order to give their quarterback enough time to throw the ball downfield. When Coach Saban was asked about how he prepared his team for this game as an underdog, he surprised the SEC Network crew with this answer, quote, "Our players actually listen to what you all, the media, think, and sometimes they believe it, and sometimes that's a problem. This week, you guys were so pro-Georgia that I think it helped motivate them to try to want to prove that we do have a good enough football team to get into the playoffs as well." Now that's a very revealing comment. Alabama has not been a dominating team at times this season. They were taken to the wire by three teams which all finished with a 6-6 record, Florida, LSU, and Auburn. If Coach Saban's team can easily be distracted hearing about how good Georgia's team was, then this might help explain a lot about this year's Alabama team, which was fortunate to sidestep a few losses in those games where on paper they were expected to perform better. A young and less mature team at Alabama is more likely to lose focus. That should give fans of 13-0 Cincinnati a little hope that Bama's players don't take their upcoming game with the Bearcats seriously enough either. But let's return to our original question. What happened to Georgia against Alabama, and what should the Dogs do now? Number one, pay less attention to the media. Heed the advice of Alabama's Nick Saban prior to your next game against Michigan. And as I watched the first quarter of the Alabama-Georgia game, it looked like the Bulldogs were quite content in taking their early 10-0 lead. Their team looked like they were coasting and not mentally ready for a true battle for the remaining three quarters. Georgia's players and coaches were taught a lesson by Alabama. Number two, stick with your game plan until your team falls behind. Georgia should not apologize for being a big, plodding offensive machine. They were 12-0, remember? The team's offensive philosophy is definitely old-school SEC style, featuring bruising running backs and a smart, ball-control quarterback who completes short passes to move the chains. And there's nothing wrong with Georgia's current quarterback, Stetson Bennett, as long as Georgia stays within one touchdown of the lead. Stetson Bennett is an accomplished ball control quarterback. Making a change at quarterback after going 12-0 in the regular season seems to me to be an overreaction to the Alabama game. Stick with your guns, Georgia, to start the game, but number three, have your plan B offense ready if plan A doesn't work. If Georgia falls behind, they should quickly trot out a special hurry-up offense ready to go with highly touted backup quarterback JT Daniels throwing the ball more often and with deeper pass routes. When the situation calls for a relief pitcher, the rest of Georgia's offense must be ready to block better also for the passing game. Number four, remember to have some fun while playing the game. The pressure of remaining unbeaten is now off the Georgia Bulldogs. Learn from the Alabama loss and just move on. There is now just one unbeaten team remaining. It's Cincinnati. Georgia can still become the national champion by just winning its next two games. Play your next game as if there's nothing to lose. And number five, and if you get another chance at Alabama in the championship game, if Georgia beats Michigan and gets one more chance to play Bama in the championship game, ask yourself this one question. Other than the Alabama quarterback's passing, which other player on the Alabama offense can beat us? The answer is simple. Nobody. LSU and Auburn nearly pulled off the upsets by bringing extra defensive pressure on Alabama's quarterback Bryce Young, hurried his decision-making and passes, and made him very much less effective. Alabama's running game is number 80 out of 130 FCS teams this year. They've been virtually non-existent this season, and they're not going to emerge in the next month either. Bring the heat on the quarterback all night long. It's going to be interesting to see how Georgia reacts in their semifinal game against 12-1 Michigan on New Year's Eve. Good luck, Georgia. We'll see how you do. I'm Swamp Swami. Come back and see us.